You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
And welcome. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, and we are from Compass Catholic Ministry. And when you hear manage your money, well, we're not about to tell you where to invest your money. What our ministry does is help you become financially free. That means free from all debt. Credit cards, car loans, mortgage payments, you name it, you will be free. And today, to lead the discussion, John and Evelyn Bean, the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministry. And our topic today is Compass Money Map. What is it? How does it help me on my journey to become financially free? Well, John, before we get into the details, why is the money map such an important part of our ministry?
You know, the reason that the money map is so helpful is that it's based on what the Bible says about handling money. And it answers the question, what should I do next to make progress with my finances?
So no matter how bad your finances are, or how good they are, or what you're trying to accomplish, everybody can make progress by using the money map.
You can download the money map from the Compass Catholic website at compasscatholic.org.
And from the homepage, you click on the black box titled Money Management Resources, and the money map is listed under the Customize Your Budget links on that click.
So there's seven destinations on the journey to true financial faithfulness, and each destination has a few different steps. We're going to go through each one of those steps to get the basics accomplished, so that you understand what those basics are, so that when you move on to the next step, you get the more advanced steps.
So you use the term map. Is there a time limit that I should be aware of, like how long it's going to take me to get to step one through step two?
No, there is no time limit. It varies by person and how big a debt you have, and how long it's going to take you to save emergency fund and things like that.
So when you see the map, you're not thinking, okay, gee, I've got to complete this in a month, 6 months, a year. Okay, so it depends on each individual situation.
It's like driving from New York City to Los Angeles. It takes you as long as it takes you.
Well, let's get in the car and go for a ride.
All righty, we're going to destination one first, and that's got three steps. The first is to save $1,000 for emergencies. The second is to begin using a spending plan, which is also called a budget. And the third is to start giving. So we'll go back to destination one in a minute, but we're going to give you an overview of every one of them first.
All right. So now destination two has two steps. And you only go to destination two after you've completed destination one. Destination two, the two steps are to increase your emergency savings to 1 month's income from $1,000, and to pay off all of your credit cards.
At destination three, you're also going to do two steps. Again, you're going to increase your emergency savings. This time, you're going to take it up to 3 months' income. And this is where you're going to pay off all that consumer debt, the car loans, the student loans, the loans from relatives, the loans from furniture store, anything that is a consumer loan.
Destination four has three steps. You save for major purchases such as a house or a car. You save for retirement. And you save to pay for education, maybe college education for the children, or to start up a business or whatnot. And, you know, it's probably a good point, Evelyn, if we stop right here and mention the fact that as you the first time you look at these destinations, and there's little boxes that you can check off, some of them you may have already checked off. Like, for example, in destination four, it says save for a house. There's a lot of people who already own a house. And so they've already done that, purchased the house, and they can check that box. They maybe don't have it paid off yet, but at least they've already purchased it. And then after you go through and make all the check marks of the things that you've at least started, you go all the way back to the beginning, and you have to complete everything to move to the next box.
Starting with one.
Correct.
Okay, destination five has three steps. You're going to purchase an affordable home. You're going to begin prepaying the mortgage, and you're going to start investing.
Destination six has two steps. You pay off your mortgage, and you fund the college education for your children.
And destination seven has two more or less milestones. Your retirement's funded, and this is where you've reached true financial freedom and true financial faithfulness.
So true financial freedom would mean I have no more debt.
True financial freedom means I don't have to work anymore for a living. I can do what I need to do to serve God.
House paid off, card paid, the
house
credit
paid off,
card
paid
done.
Off, wow. No debt. I've got my retirement fully funded, and I'm ready to not work anymore.
So if I follow 1 through 6, I'm going to get to 7. I mean, if I'm faithful about following those steps, and you're going to tell us how to get through those steps, right?
Yes, we are.
So by step 7, I should be ready to retire from my everyday job.
That's correct.
Got it.
Yeah, we don't want you just to retire and go sit in a rocking chair on the front porch.
That's a Cracker Barrel. I only do that
when you visit Cracker Barrel, right?
Yeah. Nothing like playing checkers. Anyhow.
So each time that you move through the money map and go from one destination to another or complete one of the steps in each of the destinations, you become more financially stable. So starting to use the money map helps make you financially wise, and it gives you a way to accomplish your financial goals. So, John, let's go into a deep dive on destination one.
The very first thing that you've got to do is you got to save $1,000 to cover emergencies. Things happen, and, you know, tires go flat, refrigerators go on the fritz. There's always a medical bill that could be looming, especially when you've got children and they're running and jumping and falling and scraping and that kind of thing. But, you know, the list is endless. So there's a few things that you need to do or you need to know about this emergency savings that you're going to collect. This $1,000 is a first step. It should be set aside for emergencies only.
So this isn't if we want to go on vacation, we think it's an emergency that we have to go on vacation.
Vacation isn't an emergency. You need to have the money accessible.
Know it in a long-term investment that's tied up.
Correct.
Your emergency fund is not your retirement account.
Exactly. It should be in a bank, in a money market, or a mutual fund, or something like that.
So you recommend that it's separated from your normal checking account?
Yes.
Okay.
Because when it's involved in your normal checking or savings, it's too easy to spend.
Okay.
And people will spend it. Once you get this $1,000 set aside, to be perfectly honest with you, you're probably going to be in the minority. But so are people who don't have any debt. They are definitely in a minority, and that's a good group to be a part of.
You know, NerdWallet reported that the annual U.S. savings rate is around 5%, and financial advisors say that saving 5% is well below where you what you should be saving. So it's a clear indication that you're not saving for unscheduled events that may arise in your future. And for many families, that's critical because when they get those unscheduled emergencies like we talked about, the first thing they do is dip into their credit cards and they just keep building up more and more debt. So that's a bad thing.
Proverbs 21:20 says, "The wise man saves for the future, and the foolish man spends whatever he has." We don't want you to be willy-nilly spending all your money. You've got to be saving for these emergencies so you're not going into debt when something happens.
A quick question, and I know we're on a road trip, and this is like bathroom break.
You only get so many of these on a trip with John, Steve.
Oh, we're only at destination one, and I've got three already. So as I'm going to, and I'm saving up for this $1,000 emergency fund, if I have credit card debt, I continue to pay what I can on that credit card debt.
Yeah, you should pay the minimum payment on the whatever cards you've got.
And save for the $1,000 same time. Okay.
Yeah, because if you don't and an emergency happens, what are you going to do? The first thing you're going to do is pull out the credit card.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
And add to your debt on that.
And that's a never-ending battle, right?
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Let's go on to, are you finished with your bathroom break,
yes,
Steve?
Yes, I'm back in the car.
Okay. And the second step in destination one is to begin using a spending plan or a budget. Because if you're not tracking down what you're spending, you have no way of managing it. So I've got a challenge for all of you. Write down what you think you spend every month. And then track your spending for a month and see how close those two figures come. And if you're anything like everyone else we've ever dealt with, you'll find that your estimates are really, really low.
Yeah, if you're within 25 or 30% we'll be surprised.
Because usually when people track their spending, they find out they're spending way more than they think they are.
Yeah, the only ones they remember are the big ones. They forget all the little ones of $5, $10, $20 here and there.
So the most important thing they learn is that they're probably spending a lot of money on stuff that's really not that important to the long run.
And the important thing about tracking your spending is it's going to allow you to establish categories that will create your spending plan or your budget. Having a budget is merely a way to tell your money where to go. Everybody has a budget. You just don't always think of it in that way.
It's like a diet. Everybody has a diet, but when they talk about diets, they're really talking about managing what they're eating, and a budget's managing what you're spending.
It's like having a seafood diet.
Every time you seafood, you eat.
Yeah.
That's
there
old.
You go.
Very bad. And the last item on destination one is to start giving. Giving is in the first destination because it honors God and it thanks Him for all He's blessed us with. And we found that when you start giving, everything else in your financial life starts falling into place.
Now, there's a great verse from Sirach. It's chapter 4, verse 31. It says, "Do not let your hand be open to receive, but clenched when it's time to give." You know, your giving needs to come off the top. Otherwise, if you wait to give what's left, there's never anything left, and then the church and God lose out. Is the emergency savings over and above my retirement savings and any stocks that I hold for investment? And the answer is yes. It's in addition to any retirement or investing. The emergency savings are funds that are easily accessible. Your retirement and that type of thing is not easily accessible.
Again, in Destination 1, you want to start saving for $1,000 in that emergency fund. Begin using a budget, very important, and begin giving. We'll continue that journey to financial freedom next on Manage Your Money God's Way from Compass Catholic Ministry on Breadbox Media.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
This is Manage Your Money God's Way from Compass Catholic Ministry. In fact, you can read about our ministry by going to compasscatholic.org. Today, we're taking you on a journey where the final stop is called financial freedom. We're discussing the 7 steps that will get you debt-free. Now, it may take 5 years, or in the case of our founders, John and Evelyn Bean, it took them 20 years to get themselves out of debt. So you can see how deep in debt they were, but it can be done. So Evelyn, take us through Destination 2.
The first step in Destination 2 is to increase your emergency savings to 1 month's income. In Destination 1, we had it at $1,000. Now we're going to take it to 1 month's income. Again, this is only for emergencies, and it should be accessible quickly. So put it into something that's going to earn interest, but something that you can get your hands on immediately.
That would be something like maybe a savings account that's separate from your primary savings, a money market fund that has check writing privileges is a good choice. The sole purpose for this is to meet unexpected expenses. It's not like you need to have a checkbook with 50 checks in it, because if you're writing that many checks on this, you're not using it for an emergency fund.
So the second step in Destination 2 is to pay off your credit cards. You know, the credit card companies love it when you owe them money because they're earning such high interest rates. And that's money that's a waste for you. It's just money that comes out of your pocket and you're just wasting money.
The average cardholder in America has typically 6 credit cards. And a 2013 study by NerdWallet said that the average household has a little bit over $15,000 of credit card debt. Now, that's not car loans, it's not a mortgage, it's just credit cards. That's the average family. And at 8%, which is a really good interest rate for a
credit
card.
That's really low, isn't it?
Yeah, it's better to lowball these than to make them too high. But at 8% interest, you're wasting $101 per month on interest. Not paying principal off or any, that's just interest, $101 a month.
So that's money that could be put aside for the kids' college, for retirement, for vacation. It's a lot of money to just have go down the drain.
When it comes to credit card debt, this is a good time to be below average.
You know, the credit card companies always tell you to buy now and pay later with those easy monthly payments. For those of us who have gotten into credit card trouble, which we have, so we know what we're talking about, those easy monthly payments are not so easy when they start adding up.
They're easy the first month, but when you get to the 13th month, you're in trouble.
Yeah. It is an ugly place to be.
There is a great verse that kind of talks about this. It's Romans 13:8. It says, "Owe no man anything." That's pretty clear, I think. Owe no man anything. And Proverbs 22:7 tells us why when it says the borrower is servant to the lender. So if you owe money to somebody, you pretty much have to do what he says. If he says, oh, your interest rate's going from 8% to 12%, there's nothing you can do about it except pay up.
That's right. You know, I heard a good line a couple of weeks ago that people use credit cards to buy something that's too expensive to buy with cash. So isn't that great? I mean, so instead they pay twice as much for it by using credit cards and paying interest. So it doesn't make any sense.
Historically, people have found that when they do surveys, is that you will spend about one-third more when you're using a credit card than if you are using cash.
Because it doesn't seem like real money?
Because it doesn't seem like you're spending anything.
Yeah.
So if you're paying with cash, you're going to be a little more careful than when you're paying with a credit card. And then the other thing is, with the interest and paying minimum payments, you might pay three times as much for that item that you buy with a credit card than if you paid cash.
That's right. So you don't want to spend as much money as it costs in cash, so you spend more money to buy it with credit cards.
You know, if you're going to go out and buy an $800 flat screen 60-inch TV and pay $800 for it, and you're going to put it on your credit card and you're only going to make minimum payments, think about, would I really buy that same TV screen, that big flat screen 50 or 60-inch screen, if it cost $2,400?
And most people would say no.
Exactly.
But that's what's happening when you're putting it on a credit card and paying the minimum payment and racking up interest charges.
Yep. I wonder how many people actually look at their credit card statement anymore now that the credit card companies have to say what you're actually, the end number is going to be once you make those minimum payments. I wonder how many people actually do that.
You know, most of the people we deal with are so focused on the minimum payments, yeah, and just skating by on the minimum that they don't even look at the big picture, nor do most people add them up.
Right.
You know, what they know what a specific bill is or what five specific credit cards are, but they don't know what the total of all five of those are. And when people add up that big picture, they're usually shocked.
But I think the tide is turning a little bit.
I think you're right. Yes. For some people.
For some people, yeah. There's a lot of the younger generation, millennials and Generation Xers, they've seen what debt can do to their parents, to people around them. And they're really working hard to use cash only, and as a result sometimes they still get into trouble because they're using their debit card all the time, and then people steal their PIN number or whatever and get into that, and it becomes an issue. But people are changing, and I think that's one of the reasons why you're seeing so many people, at least if you're watching cable TV, who are all excited about buying tiny houses.
I knew you were going to go into the tiny house thing. It's a good segue.
Yeah, but I think that's true, because those people, you listen to their thought process and they say, I don't want all that debt.
So let's talk about the debt snowball payoff.
Tell us about it.
First of all, list all your credit cards, the total balance, the interest, the monthly payment, and how long it's going to take you to pay it off. And that should be on your credit card statement.
Yes.
And then look at whichever one has the smallest balance and put any extra resources you have, any extra money you have, any extra income, any money you can save, put that toward paying off the smallest balance credit card first.
Yes.
And concentrate on getting rid of that one.
Yes. And the reason we tell you to pay off the smallest one instead of the biggest one or the one with the largest interest rate is we want you to have some success. You know, you're going to feel really good when you get that card paid off. And then you take the money that you were using to pay off that first card and you add it to the minimum payment of the next largest.
Next smallest.
Next smallest, however you want to phrase it. You add what you were paying on the first card to the second card minimum. And you'll be able to pay that off much faster than if you were just paying the minimum. And you do that for each card in succession.
And once you start, it does turn into a snowball because you can start going faster and faster as you knock off those one or two small ones because that payment totally goes away and it increases what you're paying on the larger ones. So it's a good strategy.
You know, the thing of it is, if you can't control your spending with your credit cards by doing the snowball, then it's time to take some very strategic action.
Which is?
It's time for plastic surgery.
Which means cutting them up, right?
Cut them up.
Those credit cards.
Cut them up. When we were in this same position as you might be in, we were pretty much able to control everything, but we still didn't want to use the cards.
But we didn't want to cut them up either.
We didn't. I was chicken. I didn't want to cut them up. There's two other, you know, cutting them up is really a final kind of a thing. The other thing, one of the things we tell people to do is to heat them up, put them in the oven at 350 for 15 minutes and make sure you turn the vent fan on. That'll take care of them. The third thing, and this is what we did, this is for you chickens out there, we put them in a baggie, put them in a tub of water, and put the tub of water in the freezer. And we froze our credit, literally. That worked for us. We never did have to go in and thaw that out.
We had to keep adding water because we had a defrosting refrigerator.
Yeah.
You know, Steve, one of the questions we get all the time is that people want to know why we don't encourage them to pay off the credit card with the highest interest rate first. And John alluded to it earlier, but our experience is that the card with the highest interest rate is sometimes also the one with the highest balance. And it's hard for people to stay motivated if they're trying to slog through something that's going to take them a couple years. When they concentrate on paying off the smallest balance first, then they have a quick win, and that usually keeps them motivated.
It's going to be a sacrifice to work on this credit card debt, and you really need to have that the excitement and the knowledge of some success to keep you motivated, to keep going, because, you know, you're probably not going to pay off all your credit cards in the first 6 months. It's probably going to maybe take 18 months or 2 years, depending on how big your debt is and how much you can afford to put towards it. So whatever the short-term effort is, whether that's 6 months or 24 months or 36 months, you know, it's really worth it to get totally free of your credit card debt. And remember, you know, that's what the Lord wants for all of us. He wants us to be free from the slavery of debt. And so that's a big issue. And if you can get it paid off, you're better off.
So from your experience, Evelyn and John, working with couples and you tell them about the snowball effect, I mean, have you actually seen it motivate people to pay off their debt by getting rid of the small balance first?
Not only have we seen people do it, we've done it. That's how we did
okay,
it.
Okay.
We had about $35,000 in credit card debt, and we just tackled them one at a time, making the minimum payment on everything and concentrating on that smallest balance, and it worked.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good way to go.
The Money Map that we've been talking about, you can download your own copy of the Money Map from CompassCatholic.org. On the homepage, scroll down to Customize Your Budget. Click that on and you'll find the Money Map. It's an excellent tool to help to keep you focused and on track. Next up, Destination 3. And part of this destination is paying off all consumer loans. John and Evelyn will share how they did it next. This is Manage Your Money God's Way from Compass Catholic Ministry on Breadbox Media.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
This is Manage Your Money God's Way from Compass Catholic Ministry. And in our Bible study, Navigating Your Finances God's Way, we use the Bible as our textbook to guide you through to financial freedom. Another way of putting this is we can show you how to become debt-free using Scripture. And the Bible study I'm talking about is called Navigating Your Finances God's Way, and it is available to your parish. If you'd like to see what is discussed over the 9 weeks of our Bible study, go to CompassCatholic.org. Click on Bible study, and there you can have your own personal tour of the 9-week study called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. If you're interested, fill out the contact form on the website, and we'll get back in touch with you. In the studio today, we have John and Evelyn Bean. They are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministry, and we're discussing the Money Map, an excellent tool that's a crucial part of our Bible study. And like any trip, you want to make sure you stay focused and stay on track, right? So, John, we're up to Destination 3.
There's really two things that you need to accomplish in Destination 3. And the first one is to increase emergency savings from 1 month's income to 3 months' income.
So we started with $1,000, then we went 1 month income, and now we're up to 3 months' income.
Right. And what you've got now, you know, all the reasons are the same, but you've got a bigger cushion in case of emergency. You're more able to withstand really unexpected expenses or the lack of income. For example, getting laid off or something like that would allow you to last a little bit longer if you had 3 months' income. You're less likely to accumulate debt, especially because you got all your credit card paid off in two. And now that you've got this emergency fund up to 3 months, you're going to be less likely to run use your credit card to have something and accumulate debt.
You know, and a lot of those emergencies that you can cover with 3 months income are really big things, like a car wreck where you have a couple $1,000 in a deductible, mm-hmm. or a health emergency. I know our grandson had his tonsils taken out this week, and the hospital demanded X amount of money up front before they would do the surgery because of the deductible situation. So that was an unexpected expense that the family faced.
And it turned out to be exactly $1,000, you know. We have some sense of reality in these numbers.
Well, the other, remember the emergency we had when our freezer broke when we were out of town? Our refrigerator defroster got stuck on and melted everything in the freezer. So we came home to a warm freezer with everything in it melted, and it puddled out on the floor and ruined the wood floor. So that was a huge deductible on our homeowner's insurance.
And, you know, if you buy a new refrigerator, guess how much it's going to cost? You know, as you're increasing your emergency savings from 1 month to 3 months, you're building the fund. Treat it like a bill. Put the same amount into it on a regular basis every single month. Maybe it's $100 or it's $150, whatever that amount is. Plan it as part of your spending plan, as part of your budget.
So let's talk about the second part of paying down debt, which is in Destination 3, we're going to pay down all the consumer debt. Now, in Destination 2, we paid off our credit cards, but in Destination 3, we're going to do consumer debt, which is anything other than the credit card debt, which you should have already paid off, and the home mortgage and business loans. I Googled consumer loans, and guess how many hits I got, John?
I have no clue, but it was a bunch, I'm sure.
I got 85 million hits in 23 seconds, in 0.23 seconds.
In 0.23 seconds.
Yes. Unbelievable, right?
Yeah.
And most of them were trying to give me another loan to take care of the loan they thought I had when I did the Google.
So they thought you were looking for more money.
They thought I was looking for a loan to pay off a loan, yeah. So the three most common consumer debts are car loans.
Yes.
Student loans.
Yes.
And home equity lines of credit.
Wow, I'm surprised furniture isn't in there.
I think most people use credit cards for furniture.
Oh, okay. They're not going to use buy now and pay in 6 years?
Yeah. I mean, did you see that on TV last night?
Equal payments?
No, I thought it was buy now and don't pay anything for six right. years.
Oh, is that what it
yeah,
is?
72 yeah. months.
Wow.
It's like, what's the furniture going to look like in 6 years?
Well, it'll be sitting out on the curb waiting for the trash man to pick it up.
And then you have to start paying $5,000 on it. You know, the other thing that's not in here when you're talking about loans is loans from relatives. You know, they should be paid off at some point, too.
Yeah, and really, you know, to keep peace in the family, they might be the first ones you need to pay off instead of the last ones.
Unless they're not charging you interest.
Yeah.
Then I put them last. You know, the other thing that needs to be in here, too, is loans that you've co-signed for. Because chances are, if you've co-signed for a loan, you are going to end up paying that loan off.
The chances are about 75% that you're going to end up having to pay it off. That's why the people who asked you to co-sign asked you to co-sign, because they know that the person you're co-signing for is probably not going to make the payments.
So in order to pay off the consumer debt, we use the same snowball that we used on the credit card, right?
Yes, yes. It strategy works every time.
So by the time you reach your consumer debt, you've got all that money that you're paying on your credit cards. They're all paid off. So all that credit card payment can be now applied to your consumer debt. So it's no longer a snowball. It's an avalanche, right?
Exactly. Because if you had six or seven or eight cards, by the time you paid off that eighth card, you were putting quite a bit of money every month to get that paid off. And now you can just transfer that amount that you were paying to the credit cards, pay it on your consumer loans.
So what's really cool is by the time you complete Destination 3, you're really financially healthy. You're on a budget, so you know how much money's coming in and how much money's going out. You're giving to the church. You have no more credit card debt. You have no more consumer debt. You've got 3 months emergency fund, and you are really ready to turn the corner from aggressive debt payment into aggressive savings.
You know, I think the neatest thing about this is that you're really in an attitude or a process of managing your expenditures.
They're not managing you.
Exactly. Exactly. I think that's the key. You're making it, the difference.
So it's a whole different ballgame. When the Federal Reserve increases interest rates, you're happy because that means you're going to get more interest on your savings, not having to pay more interest on your loans.
Exactly.
So what are some of the most common things we're going to be saving for in Destination 4, John?
Well, I think the first thing is probably buying a home.
Saving to buy a home.
Saving to buy a home. Savings to buy a car. Savings for children's education. Maybe starting a business. And then, of course, retirement savings. Those are the key issues that you need to be looking at when you get to this destination. You know, one way to establish a savings discipline is to save an amount that's equal to whatever is spent on non-essential indulgences. That's a big word, Evelyn.
Okay, so explain that in English.
So what we're saying is put a matching amount in the cookie jar or in the savings account for expenditures like beer and wine and cigarettes and that
fancy coffee on the way to work.
Fancy coffee, yeah. Hopefully you're not smoking anymore and you're not doing a six-pack every night and, you know, all those goofy things. If you can't afford to save the matching amount, then you can't afford to be buying that stuff.
So if I have to pay $5 for a fancy coffee, I buy the $5 fancy coffee, and then I come home and I put $5 in the cookie jar.
Exactly.
And if I can't afford to put $5 in the cookie jar, then I shouldn't have bought the fancy coffee.
Exactly.
Okay.
You got the picture.
I got it.
You got it.
Not that I go buy fancy coffee since I don't do that. I make my fancy coffee.
Well, and another interesting thing that you can do, kind of a little game you can play with yourself, is you find something that you want to buy.
Want.
Notice I say want, not
need.
Needs. Yes, exactly. Take the cost of that item and divide it by how much you make per hour. Even if you get a salary, you can figure out kind of what your hourly wage would be, even if you're on salary. So if you're making $20 an hour and you want to buy a pair of shoes that cost $80, that means you've got to work for 4 hours to pay for those shoes.
Actually, it's probably more if you take out taxes, right?
Well, it might be five.
Yeah.
Okay.
So are those a five-hour pair of shoes is what you want to ask yourself?
That's 5 hours. That's almost a day's wages just to buy those shoes.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting way of kind of looking at it, or a different way of looking at how much you're spending and if you really want to spend that amount of money.
I like that because it helps you set priorities. Do I really want to work this long to buy this item? So it's a good way to look at priorities and see if those are the real priorities.
You know, another thing to do is to kind of split it up. If your two big goals are purchasing a home and having a retirement fund, split your money up. Maybe you put 75% of their surplus towards the savings for the home and 25% towards your savings for retirement, or maybe make it 50-50, whatever works for you in your own mind. Everybody's going to do it differently. But the key is that when you get out of debt and you begin to save, interest now becomes your friend because it's working for you instead of against you.
So in other words, if you start with $2,000 and save $500 a month, earning 7% interest, in 10 years, you're going to have how much, John?
$90,000. That's a pretty good amount.
That's a good amount.
Yeah.
That's a great start on a retirement fund.
There's been a lot of surveys recently that have shown how much people have saved. The average is way below $90,000.
So what we're saying is the Destination 4 is kind of a turning point from I'm getting everything paid off and I'm getting all my debt reduced to now I'm starting to save for more strategic stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a great position to be in. You know, by the end of that 10th year, that $90,000 that you've saved is actually going to be earning $528 a month at that same 7%. That's why Destination 4 is such a new ball game. You really want to learn how to handle money God's way and make real financial progress.
Remember when we were discussing Destination 4, start saving for major purchases? Well, next, Destination 5, saving for that affordable home. This is Manager Money God's Way from Compass Catholic Ministry on Breadbox Media.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Glad you're with us today for Manage Your Money God's Way from Compass Catholic Ministry. Today, we're talking about the Money Map, a great tool to have to get you to financial freedom. And there's 7 steps. We're up to number 5. Evelyn, how about you share some of the details about Destination 5 and how do we get there?
In Destination 5, we're going to spend some of that money very strategically.
All right.
First of all, we're going to buy an affordable home. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Second thing is we're going to really invest our money. Mm-hmm. And the third thing is once we buy that house, we're going to start paying off the mortgage.
So if I've already bought my house, I can just check the first item and jump to the third item, paying it off.
After you finish the first 4 destinations.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Definitely.
What does it mean to buy an affordable home?
One thing you don't want to do is buy more of the house than you need. You know, when you talk to a realtor, a lot of times you tell them what your budget is and how much you can afford. And the first thing they do is they show you a house that's about $5,000 or $10,000 over that amount. I know we ran into that when we moved back to Orlando. We were looking at homes, and when we got to this small little house we bought now, we looked at each other and said, you know, this is really, no matter what we can afford, this is really the only size house we need.
Correct.
And that was a good decision for us.
Correct. But by the same token, when we moved to Atlanta, we were looking to buy a house that's similar to what we've bought when we moved back to Orlando, and there weren't any.
That's correct.
You know, every place we looked, the housing was really significantly more expensive. And in different parts of the country, California would probably be the first one that comes to mind. You know, the cost of housing is just really exorbitant. And so sometimes you really have to step back and analyze where you are.
But be careful. Don't buy more house than you can afford. And one of your goals in saving in Destination 4 should be that you were able to put down at least 20% on the purchase of your home. So a 20% down payment on the purchase of that home.
That's actually going to save you 1% on the mortgage payment every month, because you don't have to pay private mortgage insurance to cover the amount that's not up to the 20% equity.
And the lower your monthly payment is, the easier it is on your budget.
Exactly. And it's a big and. The lower your monthly payment is, it puts you in a better position to be able to prepay the mortgage and get your home paid off free and clear much quicker.
Okay, now I got a question for you, John. There are people that say they don't want to pay off their house because they lose the tax advantage.
I understand what they're saying, and I've felt that way myself at one time until I really analyzed it. The typical homeowner is probably in a 15 or 25% tax bracket. All they're getting on the taxes is a 25% savings against the total interest that they paid on that mortgage. So let's just make it real easy. If the total interest that you paid over the course of a year is $4,000,
okay,
you're gonna, and your tax bracket is 25%. Again, we're making the numbers pretty easy, but this will apply to a lot of people out there. 4,000 total interest last year, 25% tax bracket, it's going to reduce your taxes by $1,000, 25%.
So that doesn't mean you're getting back $1,000.
No,
it just says your taxes are lower by $1,000.
Correct, correct. Now, what about that other $3,000? Guess what? You still have to pay it. That's right. You still paid that to the mortgage company.
So I'm paying $4,000 in order to get back a $1,000 credit on my taxes.
Exactly. Now, if you wanted to give me, Evelyn, if you want to give me $4,000, I would even give you $1,500 back.
What you don't understand is we have the same account here, my dear.
Oh, well.
So that doesn't work.
It sounded good.
Maybe Steve will fall for it.
Oh, because I was reaching into my pocket. You know, you were talking about paying down your mortgage earlier.
Yes.
We have a great calculator at compasscatholic.org. On the homepage.
Yes.
You scroll down, you'll see calculators. And the first set of calculators you come to is about mortgage. And there's one, I think it may be the third one down, that you open it up and you plug in your numbers, what your balance is, what you're paying every month, and then you can have fun. If I wanted to pay an extra $25, $50, $100 a month, it'll tell you when the mortgage will get paid off and how much the bank's not going to get, but you're going to be able to pocket that interest in your account.
Exactly.
That's a great tool.
Yeah,
I love playing with that.
And it really opens your eyes to what the possibilities are. Because that money can then go right towards a retirement fund, mm-hmm, or you know, something else that really needs to be saved.
We're talking thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars that you are giving to the bank, and
right,
they're happy to take it.
Well, isn't there some kind of a benchmark that says if you have a 30-year mortgage, you usually end up paying like three times as much as the purchase price of the house?
Well, yeah, and it's not as much now as it used to be. When interest rates were commonly in the 5 to 9% rate, you typically would pay about 2.5 to 3 times the first cost of the home in total interest, the total payments. So it would be your principal plus your interest would be about 2.5 to 3 times the first cost of the house.
Okay.
With today's interest rates being in the vicinity of 4%, that number is not as great. In some cases, it might only be two times the first cost of the house. But think about it. If you're buying a house that costs $150,000 or $200,000, that's still an extra $150,000 or $200,000 that you're paying in interest.
That's a lot of money.
Yes, it is.
That'll
yes,
do you
is.
Well in retirement, won't it?
It would be fantastic.
So what is a rule of thumb about how much house I can afford? It's some percentage of my gross income, right?
Yeah. The rule of thumb says that all your housing expenses, this is your mortgage, your interest, your taxes, your insurance, and upkeep on the house, homeowners association fees, all that kind of stuff, all your utilities should not exceed 40% of your gross income.
So the two things to remember, a 20% down payment and don't exceed 40% of my income, right?
Exactly. So let's go on deep dive on this destination. We get the mortgage paid off.
And we have our children's education funded.
There you go.
We can send the kids, all the kids to college. What a blessing that'll be. So in Destinations 4 and 5, we've been saving. And then in Destination 6, we can get our home mortgage paid off and fund the children's education.
And that's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
You know, the College Board said that it costs about $30,000 to go to a private school. And if you're going to an out-of-state school, it costs almost $24,000. So the quicker you can get that paid off, the better off you're going to be.
So what can parents do to avoid some of this really high debt that the kids get into with school debt? You know, I think, first of all, even when they're young, you can start praying with your children for the Lord to provide the funds needed for a college education, if that's what he wants them to have. And that's a great opportunity for parents to teach their children to become closer to the Lord.
You can ask God for some ideas. You know, let him bless you with some ideas of ways that you can save or earn additional income to get some of this stuff paid off. And the second suggestion would be start saving as soon as possible. Like, for example, when that baby's born, put some money in a 501 or in a, excuse me, a 529 plan to start that college education right then and there. And when the grandparents kick in a little bit because the baby was born and stuff, then you've got, you can put that right into that 529 savings plan.
Well, it's good to encourage the children to kick into their own college fund as they start working and earning money babysitting or mowing lawns or birthday money or Christmas money. You know, there's some benefits to teaching them to be savers.
Yes, absolutely. And that should be done all the way along the line as they grow up. So what's next? We get all this stuff paid off. Where are we?
Well, we're at Destination 7.
7. Hallelujah.
True financial faithfulness. So what does that mean?
It means that you're living on a budget, so you're managing your money. It's not controlling you. You're giving to the church and to other charities. There's no more credit card debt. There's no more consumer debt, car loans, student loans, home equity loans.
The loan from Uncle Fred.
Uncle Fred's been paid back. You've got at least a minimum of 3 months in the emergency fund. To be realistic, we would suggest you start really working towards 6. That would be much better. Your house is paid, the education of your children is paid for, and you've saved enough for retirement. Can you imagine the peace that you're going to feel when you reach that point?
And, you know, it is a peaceful place to be. It wasn't easy. We did this, and it wasn't easy. We had a long, hard haul to get where we are now. But once you get there, it is an amazing place to be.
You probably had a lot of detours along the way. I know we did. It requires a lot of perseverance, it requires a lot of patience, and definitely some effort.
Because between the time we first learned these principles and the time we were able to reach Destination 7, we had four or five different moves where we had to sell houses and change jobs, and we had layoffs. And
how long did it take you to get to Destination 7?
20 years.
Yes.
Now that you've reached Destination 7, I know the answer to this, you still have a spending plan. You still have a budget.
So it's even more important now because we don't have any more income coming in.
And that's what's important. Once you get to Destination 7, it's not done. You still, to keep you in that habit, you still track your spending.
We do.
You know, we've been tracking every penny that we spend for the last 30 years. If God grants us 30 more years, we'll continue tracking it for 30 more years because it's that important. Mm-hmm. You have to understand where your money's going and how much you're spending and how much you've got left.
Well, and it provides us with the capability to do what we love, which is a passion for this ministry. Yep. And that's a real blessing.
Wow, we shared a lot of information with you today, and we have links to everything that we covered from our website. Just go to compasscatholic.org on the homepage, scroll down to show notes, and you'll find those links. Again, thanks for listening. Hope you can join us again next time for Manage Your Money God's Way from Compass Catholic Ministry on Breadbox Media.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.